Turn, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I was definitely praying about what to preach, and the Lord just put this on my heart, and I was studying it again last night, and I hope it'll be a help to you. Philippians chapter number 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 8. If you would like a title for the message, it's simply this: Overcoming Anxiety. Overcoming Anxiety. The Bible has a lot to say about it, and it's something that we all deal with. And I want to look at this from the passage before us. Let's pray before we read. Lord, we ask that you would bless the Scriptures. And Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help us to have open hearts. I pray that we'd be looking for help from you, that you bring conviction into our lives and encouragement also. Lord, perhaps there's someone here that's not even saved. We ask that you would use your word to bring an understanding of a lack that might be in their life, and the fact that there's something between them and you, and it's called sin, and that Jesus can forgive that and bring peace. But Lord, I pray, because this is mostly for those who are saved, that this message would be an encouragement and a help, and that folks would understand how to deal with this thing called anxiety, because we're all going to face it. And you've given us some help from your word, and if we would just apply this, it'll make a difference. And we ask that you'd bring some real victory and real hope. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. Chapter 4, verse number 4, the Scripture says, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So God's told us what we should think about. A lot of times we're thinking about other things, like all the problems that are out there. The word in our passage here, look in verse number 6 with me, says, be careful for nothing. That word careful means to be anxious about. Okay? To be anxious about. It refers to worry. You don't have to raise your hand in here, but I wonder how many in here worry at times. Truth is, we all do, don't we? And the Greek word for this word careful is found 17 times in the New Testament. So what does that tell me? That tells me that anxiety was a common problem for Christians in the New Testament age. And the fact that God included it in the Scriptures for us means something else. That He knew it was going to be a problem for Christians, not only in that age, but throughout all ages. There's always things to worry about. There are plenty of things to worry about. How'd you like to be working in a high-rise on the anniversary of 9/11 wondering, is there going to be an anniversary attack? Don't tell me that doesn't go through the minds of some people, because you know it does. We're filled with things to worry about. The world is filled with problems. Inflation. Gas prices, food prices, not just food prices, food shortages. Have you gone to the store and found that what you usually find is not there? And you're like, can't they just get this stuff in? What's the problem? And no, they're not getting the stuff in. And when they do get it in, you're like, oh, I can't afford that anymore. And what am I going to cut? And so there's a lot of things to worry about. And it's a common thing that we all deal with. And if we're not careful, we're going to get filled with worry and it's going to cripple us. Fear and anxiety, actually, they typically go together. What happens is we become fearful of, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to provide for the family? How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to get through this health crisis? How am I going to fix this problem in my marriage? How am I going to help my kids? I'm trying my best. I'm praying. I'm teaching them the Bible. I'm disciplining them. I'm doing all the things I know. And it's still, things are not going the way I want. How is it all going to work out? We get all worked up. When you get all worked up, you know, it's usually one or two things happen when you get all worked up. I was just counseling with a man who has a problem with anxiety. And he said, I just blow up and I just get angry at my wife. That's one thing that happens when you get worked up. You're feeling the pressure. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I don't know. You're going through. You're working on the bills together. And then all of a sudden, she said, well, how are we going to pay this? You go, I don't know how we're going to pay this. Whoa, I was just asking a question. You know, it's like, what happened? Anxiety. And it led to another emotion, which wasn't so good. Sometimes our anxiety leads us not to a burst of anger, but sometimes it leads us into discouragement and even into depression. We get so down that we think there's no way out. Sometimes we do that with our sin. We get into sin and we do something wrong, and then we're anxious about it. And we go, maybe as a young person, well, I can't tell my parents about what I did, and you know, if they found out, they'd kill me, or they would break their heart. And they get all worked up, and they get, instead of getting help, they go into discouragement. And some people get so discouraged they take their lives. And so anxiety is a real problem in our society. And our fear will lead to us becoming anxious. And as I mentioned, that anxiousness will lead to other emotions and other sins, actually. And so Jesus warned people about anxiety in Matthew chapter 6. We're not going to turn back there, but I just, you could probably remember the passage where several times where Jesus said, take no thought, right? Like, take no thought for the morrow. That word thought means to be anxious. It's actually the same word that is translated careful in this passage, the same Greek words, just they mean the same thing. You can say, don't be too overly thoughtful, too careful, too anxious, too worrisome. And so he says, take no thought. That word thought, again, is the same word. And Jesus spoke to the people about that because he didn't want people to be anxious. Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told us in Philippians chapter 4, don't be anxious. All right, so this is a subject for believers, not just for the unsaved crowd, as people would say. And the lesson about anxiety, the lessons have been recorded in the Bible for all of us so that we can get the help. Let me say this also. There can be several causes of anxiety. I am not a doctor. Now, I've been to a lot of them, you know, and they're practicing. That means they're still practicing. They don't always have all the answers. But I'll tell you this. Sometimes there are certain medical conditions. There really are medical conditions that can lead people to have problems with anxiety. I mean, for instance, people with thyroid problems. And if you've got thyroid problems, then get it checked out and fixed so that it helps you with your anxiety. Okay? You know, there's all sorts of things, and I'm not going to go into a whole list. You can look them up yourself. Just because you have anxiety doesn't mean you have a health problem. But you might. And if you do, get it taken care of so that it'll help you with your anxiety. Amen? Some people's personalities tend more to being fearful. Timothy in the Scriptures seemed to have a more timid disposition. You say, well, God made me that way, so I'm mad at God. Don't be mad at God. We all have weaknesses, and when we have weaknesses, it just allows us to have to lean on the Lord to help us through those a little bit more, right? And so His strength is made perfect in our what? In our weakness. And so, remember, Timothy was told, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Then there's other things that can cause us to be anxious. Like I said, finances, family problems, friends, you know, our future. It could be a student saying, I don't know how I'm going to pass this class. They get all anxious. Could be a young person saying, well, I don't know how I'm going to find a mate. I want to get married someday. Who knows? But there's no shortage of things and circumstances to cause us to have times of anxiousness. Sometimes it's a lapse of faith, right? In fact, many times that we have anxiety, it's simply because we fail to trust God during our times of disappointments and difficulties. So when I'm speaking now here on anxiety and how to deal with it and how to overcome it, yes, there could be some physical parts to that, health problems, okay? But when it's a spiritual problem, then it becomes sin. So if you have thyroid problems, you have a little bit of anxiety, and it's because of your thyroid problems, I'm not saying that you're a dirty, rotten sinner. Okay, go get your thyroid taken care of. Well, what I'm talking about is this spiritual deficiency that we have sometimes of being over-anxious, of simply just not trusting God. And when we don't trust God, that is sin. Okay, remember I said fear and anxiety work together. If you read through the scriptures, you remember Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you fearful? How is it that you have no what faith?" See, the problem is fear displaces our faith. But the same is true on the other way. Faith can displace our fear. So we have a choice to make. I'm going to have faith, or I'm going to be fearful. And when we're fearful, it doesn't end well. When we have faith, it does go well. God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen? So when anxiety starts to creep into your life, I hope that you'll learn to deal with it. Now, when I say the title of the message, Overcoming Anxiety, let me say that. Don't get this idea that, okay, I have anxiety, so I'm going to put into practice what I learned today, and I'll never have a problem with it again. No, you will. You said, well, you said it's overcoming. Yes, overcoming. Every time it comes up. If you're anxious about something, follow these steps that the Scriptures give us. And you'll have victory. You'll overcome it. You'll be moving forward. But then, you're human. You have a weak flesh. You're going to have some more problems, and you're going to stumble, and you're going to have a lack of faith again. And when you do, kick yourself in the seat of the pants or skirt or whatever, and tell yourself, I am going to follow these steps again. And when you do, guess what you'll have? You'll have victory again, and you will have overcome anxiety again. So God's Word does work. You just have to keep working it because we have this fallen, sinful nature. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher from years ago, said this, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength." Ooh, that's a good one. So, are you anxious or worried about something today? Chances are we all have something that we could be worrying about. Our text passage gives us 7 steps to overcome anxiety. Now you're thinking, 7 steps? You mean you've got 7 points? This is going to be a long sermon. Don't worry, I know what time I'm supposed to be done. All right. So let's hustle through some of them. Some I'll take a little bit more time with than others, but I want to try to be a help and a blessing to you. Look again with me in chapter 4. Look at verse number 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Let me give you the first step. Rejoice despite bad things. All right, if you take notes, just take down these seven steps. And I'll tell you what verse that each one of these steps come from. They're all going to come from verses 4 through 8. But first, number one, rejoice despite bad things. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Where was Paul when he wrote this? You know, he was in prison. Would you like to be in prison today? Not a fun place. Not a nice place to be. I enjoy my freedom. I like to go where I want to go. I like to do what I want to do. I don't want to be behind bars. Right? My son worked in the county jail for a while trying to get some experience because he really wanted to be a police officer. So he found out a lot of what went on in the county jail with prisoners. There's some pretty bad people there. Now he's a police officer, so he's found out on the other side and how they get there. He used to help them when they got there. Now he helps bring them there. So if you're bad and you want, you know, I'll just tell my son to come take care of you. Even in the darkest of our circumstances, we still have something to rejoice in. What? What does the verse say? Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is still the Lord. He's still alive. He's still powerful. He's still all-sufficient. He still has everything that we need. He still answers prayer. He never falls asleep. He has a plan for all of our disappointments. Isn't that true? We know Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His what? His purpose. He's got a purpose. He's got a purpose for your problem. He's got a purpose for your sickness. He's got a purpose for your financial difficulties. He's got a purpose for all of the things that you and I don't like. So, well, I don't believe it. Well, then you don't have faith. And you're not going to have much victory. And that's why you have anxiety. So what we can do is we can still say, Lord, I may have lost my friend, I may have lost my health, I may have lost my job, but I still have You. Thank You for that. That's just practical. How we can put this together. So you can choose to be happy that God's still alive and that He's aware of your problems and that He's able to help you. Or you can say, I got problems. And God hasn't helped me. Ever been there? We usually tend to focus on our problems, and when we do, we get discouraged. However, the Lord, when we focus on Him, then we can rejoice. So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. That's the first step to getting victory. Don't lose your joy. You can lose everything else. But if you still have the Lord, you have something to rejoice in. I'm glad no matter how bad it gets here on this earth, I'm still going to go to heaven when I die. I receive Christ as my Savior. I can have pain, and I do. I can have troubles, and I do. But I know one thing, it's all going to be over. I was having family devotions with my wife last night. We're reading in Revelation, talked about, you know, all sorrow and tears are going to be wiped away. And then there's that part that says, no more pain. I have chronic pain. It's going to be gone. I am so happy. I'm going to get a new body, one that works. I'm happy for that. So, rejoice despite bad things. Here's number two. Worry about nothing. That's found in verse number six. Be careful. Remember that word means to be anxious about, which means worry. It says, be careful for nothing. In today's language, it would be stop worrying. Anyone ever told you that? Stop worrying. Now that's a command. So if that's a command, then I have a choice. I have a decision to make. Either I am going to worry or I'm not going to worry. So I have a choice. Be anxious or don't be anxious. Which one do we often choose? Be anxious. Wrong choice. God would not tell us, be careful for nothing if it were impossible to do. So we can choose to allow fear and anxiety to creep in because of our situation, or we can choose to have faith that God will work it out. The problem's going to come. We're going to be tempted. We're going to have that feeling like, don't stay there. Say, okay, this is tough. This is a problem. I don't know what to do. But God, you do. It's going to come. But then take and make that decision and say, all right, Lord, you said, be careful for now. You said, don't worry. You're going to have to help out with this one. And you know what he does? He does help out. You know why? Because he's God. He's powerful. He can help in our times of difficulty. So, we can have faith that God will work things out. So the point is, stop worrying. And you say, but I can't. Yes, you can. But I can't. God said, stop it. Because he will give us help to do so. But you got to follow the rest of the steps. So, step number one, rejoice despite bad things. Step number two, worry about nothing. Step number three, pray about everything. Pray about everything. We find that there in verse number six also. Be careful for nothing, but, that's a contrast there, but, so don't do this, but instead do this. Stop worrying and start praying. When we're worrying, we're not praying. And the funny thing is, sometimes we go to prayer to ask God to do something, and instead of asking Him to do something, we start worrying. Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, oh, and this is, and then you forgot all about God, now you're just thinking about your problem. And this is so bad, and this is so bad, and this is so bad, and this is so bad. That's not prayer. Prayer is casting all of our care upon Him because He cares for us. Amen? So God urges us to let our requests be made known to Him. In other words, pray about your situation instead of worrying about it and ask God to work things out. He might not take your problems away. He might give you strength to get through the problem. He might take the problem away. But whatever He chooses, He will give you the grace that you need to get through it. I think we have time. Keep your finger here. Run back with me to Luke chapter number 10. It's a great passage. And it also deals with this topic of anxiety. And you know, even good people battle anxiety. We know something about Mary and Martha. They were both, obviously they were sisters, but they both loved the Lord, didn't they? And the Lord loved them, and they had this brother called Lazarus who died, and the Lord loved him despite the fact that he let him die. That's because he was also planning to raise him back up. Sometimes he lets bad things happen to us so that he can do good things for us. Not a bad thing, right? Just got to get through the bad thing and wait for him to do the good thing. Anyway, so we got Martha and Mary. Pick it up here in Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. The word cumbered means she was distracted. So here you got Mary spending time with Jesus. Martha's being very noble. She's serving, but she's got a little bit distracted with her service. She's not spending time. She's not spending time with Jesus like her sister. And it says she came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" Isn't it amazing sometimes we come and accuse God of something when we're asking Him to do something? Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care about me? Of course He cares about us. It's always wrong to start casting doubt on His concern for us. So you know right now she's kind of heading in the wrong direction. Then, I don't know if she even realized what she's doing. Then she tells Jesus what to do. She's bossing Him around. She said, "Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Jesus, she's just sitting there listening to you. Just tell her to come and help me. The last time I checked, we're not probably supposed to tell God what He should do, right? You know, if one of my kids came up to me and, "Dad, give me $5. I'm going to give you something, but it's not $5. We need to be careful how we talk to the Lord. Amen. He's God. He's holy. He's our Heavenly Father. And He deserves respect. Anyway, so you could tell she's a little distraught, right? And we're going to find out why she's acting this way. Because she's got anxiety. And when you're filled with anxiety, you don't actually always act the way you should act. You don't always say what you should say, and you don't always do things the way you should do them. So, we find it here in verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Thou art careful. What do you think that word means? Yeah, it means you're worried. You're anxious about. It's the same word we found back in Philippians chapter 4 where Paul said, be careful. Be careful about nothing, right? And so, he's telling her, you're anxious and you're troubled. And that's what happens. We become full of anxiety and trouble. What was the solution? He said in verse 42, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And what was Mary doing? She was there at Jesus' feet. So there's one thing that's needful when you are anxious and troubled, and that is this: spend time with the Lord. Pray to Him. Obviously, you read His Word. Have communication and fellowship with God. Cast your burden on Him. Stop worrying about your problem and start praying about your problem. Last time I checked, worry changes nothing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, remember talking about anxiety and all that, that word thought meaning anxiousness. He said, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Now, this is for all those vertically challenged people. That's the politically correct way of saying short people. So we don't want to offend anybody, so those vertically challenged people. He said, you can't change anything. You can't add one cubit to your stature, to your height. You can't make yourself any taller by being anxious about it. "But I wish I was taller. I wish I was taller." I wanted to be tall. My dad was tall. My brother was taller than me. And someone told me, if you go out and hang on the swing set and just off the top bar and just hang there for a while, you'll stretch out and you'll be taller. So I'm out there just hanging. I think that's what happened. Might have had something with the jeans too, right? I like being tall, you know, and something on the top shelf and someone's like struggling. I said, "Yeah, I'll get that for you, you know." But it has its disadvantages too, because sometimes some stuff is like way down there. And man, that back just doesn't work the way it wants to. Sometimes you get down and you can't get back up. It's like, can you get that for me? So we need everybody, right? But here it is. Jesus was saying,
You're not tall. Don't worry about it. Because you can't change that. You can worry all about how you're not, and it's not going to change anything. So I'm going to say, well, I wish I was talented. Well, you can practice this stuff, but it doesn't mean you're going to be talented at it. You know, I don't sing in the choir. There's a reason. Amen. That verse, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I got the noise part down pretty good. I don't even ask the choir director if I could join the choir. I just know what it is, you know. So, worrying is going to change nothing. So don't do it. Let me ask you this, though. Can prayer change things? You know it does. So let's get to praying. I'm not trying to take away from any problems people have. I don't know everyone in here. I don't know what you're going through. But my guess is there's some pretty big battles and trials and heartaches that some of you are facing. So I'm not trying to make light of this whole idea, but I'm going to say this, that God is real and He's able to help you. Don't give up. Pray a little more than you worry, and that'll fix a lot of things. So, rejoice despite bad things. Worry about what? Nothing. Pray about everything. Amen. And number four, give thanks for all things. And we find this back in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So we should be, when we're praying, we should be thankful. Well, thankful that God heard us. Thankful that He can fix this problem. Thankful for what He has done for us in the past. And we can pray with thanksgiving because we know that He's in control of our circumstances. We're assured He's going to hear us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always, here's the hard part, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were in the mission field, and when we were there, our family had a very serious car accident. I was passing a dump truck, and it decided to turn while I was passing it. And I T-boned the dump truck in my little 1989 Honda Civic. My wife and I were in the front seat. My children were in the back seat. The back seat had no seat belts. It was a pretty bad accident. I broke the steering wheel with my head. Got a really nice head injury. And I tell everybody I have drain damage. You'll get that. I crushed my chest. My wife broke her neck. I did that to my wife. I broke her neck. And she broke her wrist in four places. Now, guess what happened to my kids in the back seat with no seatbelts? Nothing. Two of them had not a scratch. One of them had a little abrasion on her hip. That's it. Now, who did that? Who protected that? That was God. We had some time of recuperation. There's a whole lot to this story. I could go on and on, but we're not going to. We had a lot of unanswered questions. We were on our way soul winning. Because you can imagine, I'm sitting here, Lord, we came to Africa to serve You. We gave up a lot of the niceties. There's no Walmart over there, you know. Name it, and we didn't have it there. And we were on our way soul winning. We were going soul winning that day. We were on our way to go soul winning. And we have an accident. And I remember just saying, okay, Lord, what do you want us to learn from this trial? And it wasn't long that he reminded me of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. And I started to take my eyes off of my problems, which were many at the moment. And I started making a list of all the things that God had done through this accident, and how it was miraculous that we survived, that the children had no problems. I could go through so many details and you would just be amazed at how God was in it all. And when we got done, I'm like, okay, Lord, you are wonderful. And that's how we need to handle our problems. And you may not know what God's doing right now with your trial, but you can rest assured that He knows. Be thankful. Because we have a great God. So number four is give thanks for all things. Number five, expect something. Expect something. See, you know, when you pray, you should expect God to do something. He hears, He answers. And so many times we pray and don't think He's going to do anything. We say, well, you know, what kind of prayer is that? Prayer that has faith is what God answers. And the Lord says something. Says that we can expect something when we stop worrying, start praying, and express gratitude. Look with me there in verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What can you expect? $1 million? No. Perfect health? Nope. All your problems taken away? Not necessarily. Sometimes. But what can you expect? The peace of God. That God's in control. And if you've got His peace, do you know what you don't have at that moment? You don't have worry and anxiety. And when you don't have worry and anxiety, you're not going to fly off the handle. You're not going to be full of anger, and you're not going to be full of discouragement. And so this idea of having the peace of God is not a little thing then, is it? It's actually a really big thing. Peace is what we need in times of fear and anxiety. That inner tranquility, that inner quietness. It's the opposite of the roaring that happens in an anxious heart. And we need to look for His peace. He promised it. We can expect it. You can say, Lord, this is terrible what's going on, but You're a very present help in trouble. Please help me through this. And you'll see the peace of God flood over your soul. Again, problems might not be gone, but you know God's with you to go through it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Paul talked about God being the God of peace in the book of Romans. And there is this peace beyond comprehension. It's called the peace that passes all understanding. It can't be understood. And sometimes people who have absolutely no reason to have peace often seem to have the most. Say, why? Because they're trusting God. Horatio Spafford was a wealthy man. He didn't, but that didn't spare him from trouble in his life and heartache. He lost his son due to scarlet fever. He lost much of his wealth during the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. He lost his four daughters who were traveling across the sea with their mother. Their mother survived. His wife survived. On his journey to meet his wife, he penned the words to the hymn, "It is well with my soul." When peace, like a river, attendeth my soul. How could he go through all of those troubles and then write a song so beautiful, so full of faith? Because he had the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And that's the kind of peace God wants to give us. Number six is fear nothing. I got to finish up here. Fear nothing. Verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep is a military term. It means to guard. It means to protect. And God promises to guard our hearts and our minds. And with Jesus standing guard in our lives,
What do we have to fear about? Nothing. So, if I'm following all these steps, then I can fear nothing. Not because of me, because I've got Almighty God with me. I've got the Prince of Peace with me. And He's going to guard. He's going to keep my heart. And I'm thankful that He does that. He's a great God. Oh, there's... I was going to give you another story from my time in Africa about... But I don't have time. So, you'll just have to buy the book when it comes out, right? Number 7, think about right things. Got a whole list there in verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Our biggest problems come when we're thinking the wrong thoughts. So think the right thoughts. Think about godly things. And that will alleviate your anxiety. If you don't, you'll start fretting. The word fret means to gnaw. I lived in upstate New Hampshire as a boy, and behind our house was a heavily wooded area. It's a great area for hiking, hunting, snowmobile riding, and all that. A few miles out behind our house was a beaver pond. A beaver dam was built up, and we would see beavers from time to time. And the beaver dam was made of unique pieces of wood. See, the beavers would gnaw on those logs, and they were tapered by their teeth, and they would cut the trees down, and then they'd gnaw on them some more and cut those logs to size and haul them and build a big dam. And they'd have their little home there. But like beavers gnaw on trees, anxiety gnaws at our soul. And if it gnaws long enough on a tree, a beaver, that tree will fall. And if anxiety gnaws on you long enough, your peace and your joy will fall also. And that's not where God wants us. The longer you allow anxiety to dominate your life, the more likely you are to suffer a great big fall. So let's do what we need to do when it comes up. Nip it in the bud, as they say, right? When you start feeling anxious, follow these steps. Turn to this passage, read it through, and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. And as you do, you'll see the peace of God come. Are all your problems going to be gone? No, but if you have God's peace and His help and His protection, can you get through them? You bet. So let's trust the Lord through our times of difficulty. Amen.